This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Call the Senate local government to order. Greet the listeners out on the internet. Welcome everyone that's here this morning. I would remind everyone to please turn your cell phones off or at least put them on wiggle. And at this time, Madam Secretary, would you please call a roll?
Senator Feagin.
Here.
Hager, excused. Olson, excused. Heinert.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Holian, excused. Ewing.
Here. Okay, we do have a quorum. I would, I guess this time we better ask for approval of the previous minutes of the last meeting.
Second.
Okay, it's moved by Senator Sutton, seconded by Senator Feagin for approval of the minutes. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried on the minutes. Would remind all of the testifiers to please sign in legibly at the podium. Please direct all your questions through the chair this morning, and if you have any handouts, please distribute them to our pages. We'll in turn get them to us. And at this time, I guess I would ask, we've got one page here, if you want to come up and introduce yourself and tell us where you're headed.
My name is Emily Schmitz. I'm from Vermilion, and I'm going to SDSU for nursing.
Okay, thank you. We're going to reverse the two bills that we have and finish the hearing on House Bill 1005. And what I'd like to do this morning on this, we have had a hearing on it last week. I'm going to go ahead and allow some more testimony on this bill. And I would like everyone to be mindful if you have new information to offer or if there's folks here that didn't testify last week, we welcome that. But try not to cover any ground that we've been over. So at this time, I would ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1005. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Mike Lighthold, the sheriff of Lake County.
Your mic's not on, sir.
How's that? Is that better?
That's better.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Mike Lighthold, Sheriff of Hughes County. I come here before to ask you to support Senate Bill, House Bill 1005. Our fees have fallen behind as costs have increased. And here in Hughes County, the current fee structure recovers approximately 45% of what it cost me to provide that service. I've heard the argument that we are public servants and we should provide this service. I would remind the committee that ever since sheriffs have been in existence, this has been a fee-for-service type of service. And the fee, as a benefit to our taxpayers, should recover as much of that cost as is possible to recover. This current increase in fees will not even cover for most counties the total cost, but at least we'll get us closer to becoming cost neutral to our taxpayers. Most of the papers we serve here in Hughes County are from collection companies. I have nothing against collection companies. They're in a business. They're in a business to make profit. But by the Hughes County taxpayers supplementing the service of that process, I don't think that's fair to the taxpayers of Hughes County, or if you take it statewide, the taxpayers across the state, for them to supplement a private business in that manner. And so I feel this is appropriate. If you want to increase it, I'd like that even better, but I don't think that's going to happen. But if you, I would urge you to support this, and I stand for any questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you. Any further proponents for House Bill 1005? Further proponents? Okay, seeing none, we will offer it to the opponents. Do we have any opponents? House Bill 1005. Morning, sir.
Good morning.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, I represent South Dakota Collectors Association. And as was stated, even though in the last testimony it was stated 70-80% of these servings come from out of state, I just don't believe that's true. And the way it was stated this morning is that the majority of those are done on behalf of collection agencies. And the collection agencies are trying to recover for people who have lost. And if you look at this fee at $1,119,000, this bill will turn it into about a $2.4 million. And that's an unprecedented raise. I heard the statement that, well, we don't want to have to come back every 10 years. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, you probably should come back sooner than that when you're talking about an assessment, which is what this is. It's a tax on business. I think it is much higher than it should be. We were told to talk to the proponents, and we did. I said 25% increase, and Mr. Tellinghusen said 50, and we said okay. And then over the weekend, that went away. So, you know, we don't have a problem with a reasonable raise. This is not reasonable. So we would appreciate your support in not approving 100 and in some cases 170% increase in these fees. Thank you.
Okay. Further proponents? House Bill 1005. Or opponents, excuse me. Further opponents? House Bill 1005. Okay, I will allow the prime sponsor or a spokesman for that to offer a rebuttal prior to closing testimony. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghusen, registered lobbyist on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. Just have a few comments that I'd like to respond to Mr. Krogman's comments. First, please don't lose sight of the fact that when we're talking about sheriff's fees, sheriff's offices perform a wide variety of functions which they are statutorily obligated to provide, not the least of which is public safety and housing prisoners and transporting prisoners. This matter of collections on behalf of private individuals or private industry is only a small part of what they do. And the other things that they do are supported by taxpayer dollars. And so really these fees are necessary, these reimbursement fees are necessary to offset the work that sheriff's offices are required by law to do. They have no choice but to accept service of process to be served or to go out and collect on behalf of a business who may or may not have made a bad business decision at the outset of their relationship with whoever the debtor is. With regards to the meeting that Mr. Krogman alluded to that I was present at, it's true, we did meet at the committee's suggestion. And at the time we sat down, initially we thought we were just dealing with Section 11 in this bill, because that was the section that was brought up during the committee hearing as being objectionable to Mr. Krogman's clients. But when we sat down, there were, let's see, one, two, three, four sections that they wanted to amend and adjust, and we simply weren't able to come to an agreement on those sections. The other thing I want to just say is that, you know, with respect to these are user fees, and keep, again, I want to stress the fact that what initiates this process is somebody has made a decision along the way to extend credit or enter into a relationship with someone that went bad. Now, the sheriff's offices didn't have anything to do with that decision in the first instance. but yet they are expected to go out and collect on behalf of the business that made the bad what turned out to be the bad decision. And I'm not suggesting that businesses aren't careful in who they extend credit to. I'm not suggesting that they don't do their own due diligence, but it's just it's in the matter of doing business. It happens. So is it really fair and proper for the taxpayers of each particular county to underwrite that business's collection efforts by subsidizing the sheriff's offices with tax dollars when the sheriff's office is asked to go out and try and collect that bad debt? And again, I would stress that I don't know the percentage of out-of-state businesses that use our sheriff's offices for collections, but I suspect it's fairly substantial. And there again, the taxpayers of yours and my counties are underwriting those expenses for the sheriff's offices to go out and collect those bad debts, if you will, for out-of-state businesses. So for all those reasons, Mr. Chair, I would just ask the committee to support House Bill 1005. Keep in mind that even though these sheriff's fees were raised in 2007, they were not raised to a point that it was a break-even proposition for sheriff's offices or counties. They were still behind the curve. Even with these proposed increases, they will still be behind the curve. It will still fall short of compensating or reimbursing counties for what they have to spend to provide these statutorily mandated services. So please vote in favor of this bill without any amendments, and I'd be happy to stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for questions and discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sutton.
Question, Mr.
Tellingham. Go ahead and offer your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You alluded to that the opponents of the bill wanted to amend more than just Section 11. Would there be an agreement in adjusting just Section 11?
Chair.
Go ahead.
Senator Sutton, thank you for the question. At the time we sat down, what Mr. Krogman and I discussed were some percentages of what was presently in the bill. After we had that discussion and I went back to my client, I was advised that we're not interested in trying to adjust those fees even for Section 11. Now, obviously, we don't have a vote, so if this committee takes that issue up, we'd be happy to visit with you about it and discuss with you what your proposal is. But at this point, we don't have a proposal, even with regards to Section 11.
Okay.
Thank you.
Follow-up? Senator Heiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this question for also be for Mr. Tellinghusen. So as I try to make this right in my mind, where a company contacts our local sheriff, says this person owes a debt, sheriff goes out, serves some papers, does whatever they have to do to this person, does that happen often on the same debt? I mean, are they trying to find the same person numerous times, or is there a statute of limitations on that?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
First of all, I'll answer the last part of your question first, Senator Heiner. There is a statute of limitations that applies to any debt. It varies depending on the type of debt. But with respect to, for instance, let's just look at Section 11 for serving a summons, complaint, warrant, affidavit, or notice. A very typical situation will be where I, as an attorney, have a client who is owed money by someone. We'll call them John Doe. I will commence a civil suit, which starts with a summons and complaint, which has to be served upon the person that we're suing. If ultimately I recover a judgment, part of the judgment will include the costs that my client had to incur to have that summons and complaint served, the service fees. And then as we go out and serve a writ of execution to try and recover the amount of the judgment, that those fees that are incurred in that exercise are also recoverable out of the debtor's property. So ultimately, if everything goes the way it should, the business or the client that I represent, they don't end up paying those fees out of pocket. They recover them from the responsible party. Now, I will agree and certainly concede that in those cases where my client's not able to recover what they're owed from the responsible party because they don't have any assets, then, yes, my client will end up having to pay those fees, and they won't be reimbursed. So that's really the how the process works.
Okay, follow-up? Further questions? Further questions or discussion? Senator Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Krogman, kind of along the same lines of last week when we met, we had talked about Section 11, and Mr. Tellinghuizen had mentioned multiple sections. Can I get clarification on that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, Collectors Association. Yeah, I did say Section 11, and I didn't realize I meant all this, the fees that were attributed to the filings that occur with the collection agencies. And I was told that was Section 11, and I did repeat that. Now, in reference to a question on recovery, only 31% is recovered on these filings. So 69% of the time, businesses are paying the fee, the bill.
Okay. Further questions or discussion? Okay. Seeing none, we'll offer it for committee action.
Could you stand by?
Okay, we're going to take just a quick little recess here for a minute. We'll go ahead and offer it for committee action at this time. Senator Fagan.
I move to pass of House Bill 1005.
Okay.
Second.
We have a do pass motion by Senator Fagan, seconded by Senator Sutton on House Bill 1005. Discussion on the motion. Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize to the committee. It was me who asked the chair for a brief recess because I had sent a page off with an amendment. I believe the amendment had merit. It dealt with Section 11. However, there was not an agreement reached between the two parties. And talking off the record with some of the committee members yesterday, I know I don't have the votes for the amendment to pass. I don't want to kill a bill that has a lot of merit that came out of a long summer study. So I won't oppose the bill because I know that it has a lot of good things in it, and I want to stress if it's not collected here, then it's put on the shoulders of the property owners, and that I know is not something that we like. I do want to say, with the chair's indulgence, I perhaps have a little bit of heartburn left over from last year with the State Debt Collection Agency, and I'm not a big fan of how South Dakota seems to be going down a road where they make sure that government gets paid before private citizens, private companies, and everyone else gets their share. And I'm just not a big fan of that attitude, that the state is number one and the people are number two. But that seems to be the way that we're going in South Dakota. I'm not saying that this bill is exactly it, but perhaps I'm a little colored from that bill last year. And I just want to say that because I don't think that's the way that we want to go down in South Dakota. But with that said, I will support the bill. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? Okay. Seeing none at this time, we will vote on House Bill 1005. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Feagin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Heiner.
Pass.
Sutton.
Aye.
Holwin.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Heiner.
Aye.
7 ayes.
Okay, we do have a unanimous vote on due pass to the floor on House Bill 1005. At this time, we will take up Senate Bill 116. At this time, we will take proponent testimony. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Senator Art Rush from District 17, which is Clay and Turner County, and I was requested to bring this bill when some pointed out to me that apparently a couple of years ago, before I was ever involved in this process, that there was a revision of the statutes dealing with the Water Development District, and that essentially they left some old language in there and put in some new language dealing with whether the people were owners of real property or whether residents and voters were the parties who got to be involved in the process. And this is merely an attempt to try and correct that so that it's consistent throughout the statute. And I have some of the people that are involved in that directly and managing these districts that will provide you with some more testimony about that.
Okay, thank you.
I stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 116. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brad Preheim. I'm the manager of the Vermilion Basin Water Development District. We serve we're a smaller water development district. We serve the counties of Turner and Clay. As Senator Rush said, this bill was the result of a discussion that had occurred during a River Basin Natural Resource District Task Force meeting a few months ago. When that task force was discussing setting up their board of directors, I was referring to the current Water Development District statute to aid in that process. And it was at that time that I had noticed that there were inconsistencies in the current statute. For instance, originally all water development district directors were required to be landowners, but House Bill 1174 in 2008 dealt with several issues, one of them being the landowner thing, as Senator Rush said. And that bill removed the landowner requirement in certain parts of the statute and failed to remove it in other parts of the statute. So after discussion with other water development district managers, I approached Senator Rush about this bill to remove some of the ambiguous language. The gist of it is mainly just cleanup, so it makes sense so there's not ambiguous language in the bill. There are a couple parts late in the statute that do still use the landowner terminology, and that has to do with special assessments. So the DENR recommended that we keep that in there. We're not trying to change the process of a special assessment. We're just trying to clean up the language in other parts of the Water Development District statute that had failed to remove landowner requirements. So my Water Development District recommends that this bill pass. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponents, Senate Bill 116. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jay Gilbertson, the manager of the East Dakota Water Development District. We cover a good part of 11 counties on the eastern side of the state. I was part of the discussion and process back in 2008 and take some responsibility for not catching the things that we'd like to get corrected at this time. we were focused more on the one man, one vote issues and representation and not so much some of the other seemingly smaller things at the time. In particular, I'll just take a quick run through the bill. The first section, 46A3A-8, currently deals with who can initiate a petition to create a water development district. And as it currently reads, you need 15% of the owners of real property in a particular geographic area in order to do that. We're proposing, as has been mentioned, to strike the reference to property ownership, which is really not something that you can require of voters, replace that with residents and voters, and then there's a significant reduction then in the rest of the text because it all deals with land ownership. The actual vote as to whether or not this proposed change would take place is, in code, left to all the voters of the district anyway, but only landowners, under the current, we feel, flawed language, are able to initiate the petitioning. They can start the process, but all the voters get to decide. Section 2, same issue, dealing with petitions to remove portions or abolish a water development district. Again, the process under current law must be started by a landowner, although all voters of the district get a say. And we're simply bringing that in together. Section 3, and as Brad alluded to earlier, is the part that caught our eye first in this latest round, deals with the definitions of what defines a vacancy in on the boards of the directors. The qualifications of a director for a water development district are set out in a different section of the code. It makes clear that you simply need to be a resident and registered voter within the area that you choose to represent. That got cleaned up in 1174 and 2008. What we didn't clean up was the vacancy description, so it now says that although someone does not need to be a property owner to be a director, we could declare their position vacant because they don't own property. And we, again, would like to take care of that. The title is long and cumbersome. It does say what the bill does, but it probably raises more questions. This is, we think, fairly simply a cleanup bill. And with that, I would ask for your consideration and support of the bill and would stand by for questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further proponents for Senate Bill 116? Further proponents? Seeing none, we will offer it for any opposition. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 116? Okay, seeing none, we will close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for questions. Seeing no questions, an offer for discussion or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move do pass.
Second. Okay, we have a do pass motion from Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Hager on Senate Bill 116. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we will, at this time, we will have a roll call vote on Senate Bill 116. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary.
Senator Feagin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Holian.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye. Okay, we do have a do pass motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Holeen, to place on the consent calendar. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. This bill will go on down to the floor on the consent calendar. Thank you. Next order of business is executive reappointment. First one is for Charles M. Turbeville, Lawrence County, Deadwood, South Dakota, to the South Dakota Lottery Commission. Is there anyone that would like to speak on behalf of Mr. Turbeville? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Norm Lingle, I'm executive director for the South Dakota Lottery. I'm here this morning to speak on behalf of Chairman Turbeville. Just a few comments. Chuck Turbeville is currently serving as the chair of the Lottery Commission and has been serving as the chair for the past 18 months. He's a native of Newell, South Dakota. Resident of Deadwood, including serving as mayor currently of the city of Deadwood. He's attended both the University of South Dakota and Black Hill State University, served a tour in Vietnam. Chair Turberville has worked in the industrial development, economic development field for a number of years. Also has operated a ranch and built two businesses in Butte County. Lastly, from 2004 to 2012, he served as a member of the South Dakota House of Representatives for from District 31. And so with that, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I would ask for your advice and consent to the reappointment of Chuck Turberville to the South Dakota Lottery Commission. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any further proponents? I guess at this time I'll offer my two cents. I know Mr. Turberville as well, and he has dedicated a lot of his life and time to the residents of Lawrence County as well as the state, and has been very involved in the Lottery Commission as well. And I think it's very fitting to be reappointed, and certainly is there any further comments or motions at this time? Sure. Senator Sutton.
Mr. Chair, I move advice and consent of the reappointment of Charles M. Turberville.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Senator Sutton, seconded by Senator Holeen, for advice and consent on down to the floor on the reappointment of Charles M. Turberville. All those in favor of the motion will say aye. All those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Feagin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Heiner.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye. So we have a due pass motion for advice and consent.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move consent.
Okay. We have a motion by Senator Holeen and seconded by Senator Sutton for to place on the consent calendar. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
With all those opposed? Nay. All right. We have a unanimous motion to place on the consent calendar. We'll go down to the floor. Next reappointment is Tom Graham, Minnehaha County, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to the South Dakota Building Authority. Would welcome, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Don Templeton, Executive Secretary of the Building Authority. Tom Graham's a resident of Sioux Falls. He was appointed to the Building Authority in 1988. He has served as chairman some 23 years, and he's president of Graham Tire Company and Graham Automotive Company. He's been past president of Sioux Valley Hospital Foundation, the Sioux Falls, past president of Sioux Falls YMCA Board of Directors, past president of Howard Wood Relays, past president of the Credit Bureau of Sioux Falls, and he's the current chairman of the Educational Enhancement Funding Corporation. I would recommend your confirmation of his reappointment, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I'd offer to the committee for discussion or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holeen.
Thank you. I'll move advise and consent on the reappointment of Tom Graham.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Holeen and seconded by Senator Olson to for advise and consent for Tom Graham. All those in favor of the motion will say aye. All those opposed will say nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Feagin.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Heiner.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye. Okay, we do have a unanimous motion to Senator Sutton.
I move consent.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Sutton and seconded by Senator Hager for add to the consent calendar. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, we do have a few more bills before us on the committee, so this Friday morning we will take up House Bill 1102, House Bill 1108 and House Bill 1117. Is there any further business to come before the committee this morning? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Heinert. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We are adjourned.